The right time to start thinking about your financial future is when? Huh? Yesterday. Yesterday. Thank you. Praise God. All right, please, you may be seated. We need to sit and talk. Amen. All right, how many of us come from homes where your educational life could have been better if your parents were financially okay? How many of us felt like you would have gone to a better school if your parents had money? Just wave it at me, just like wave it. Look at your neighbor and wave it before the person. Hallelujah. How many of us want to say, look, I wasn't really comfortable where we lived. I would have loved to grow up in a better neighborhood. How many of us would have loved to grow up in a better neighborhood? Because where I grew up in, I got exposed to kind of things that I wouldn't want my children to be exposed to. Fantastic. Help me appreciate Mrs. Chinelo for what she has done. I would love to bring Mrs. Sarah, but I think I'll push her till next week so that she can have her time instead of rushing her for 5 minutes. Mrs. Sarah is a financial literacy coach. She has her own app and all of that. Mrs. Chinelo is into heavy investment in oil and gas, real estate, and the rest of that. And they are all members of the church. So you all shake hands with people you don't even know who they are, you know. Let's get started. I grew up in a home where the most important thing my mother gave to me was love for God. My mother exposed me to God. My mother exposed me to the things of God for which I am eternally grateful. In the early days in our family, my father, I saw him, you know, with good cars. I saw Land Rover first in our house. And I also saw some other cars. And I saw my father travel. Weekends, my father will travel out of Kaduna and will go to Lagos. My father will go and do party. He will go and party in Lagos over the weekend. And so he flies out of. So we have flight tickets, Nigerian Airways flight tickets, where it's in our cupboard. And then my father will come back in the morning on Monday from Lagos after he's going to have fun. So with that kind of lifestyle, you would have thought that this man must be someone who is really backed up by assets. You know? So, but all of a sudden again, I was alive to see my father go from having cars. I was alive to see my father riding a bicycle. And finally, I was alive to see my father die. And when my father died, I realized we had nowhere to go because there was no houses built. Nothing. So we were stranded. My mother and I were stranded in the military barracks. So we were left to be jumping from house to house. And those formative moments in my life made me to make some very tough decisions. And one of the decisions for me was the fact that I will do whatever it will take for me to make sure that my kids grow up in a wealthy home. Number two, I made up my mind that I'm not going to have a wife who is financially disadvantaged. Because I realized that because my mother was not financially empowered, it affected us when my father died. Because if my mother had been financially empowered, we will not see the kind of things that we saw as a result of his death. In fact, before he died, we already started suffering. So I made up my mind. I made up my mind on several levels. One, I was going to work hard. I was going to study. Then I was going to get a good job. I was going to make a lot of income. And number two, I was going to make sure that my wife was financially empowered. Number three, I was going to make sure I take care of my wife. And number four, my mother. And then number four, I was determined to ensure that my children get the best of education. These were major drivers, and I started very early. I started pushing myself. I worked very hard. My work ethics began very early in my life. I would spend hours. So I didn't have the luxury of, you know, hanging out, playing with friends when friends go out, you know, go to party and clubs. I didn't have that luxury. I mean, you know, they have parents they can spend on. I have nobody to spend on. So whilst my friends were busy having fun and the rest of that, I was focused on work. I didn't have textbooks. I couldn't afford to buy simple things like chemistry textbook. So what I will do is to go to someone like Isaac Inyang, whom I have not seen now for decades. I will go to Isaac Inyang and I'll say, "Isaac, can you please loan me your chemistry textbook?" And he said, "No, Brother Sam, no problem." And he would say, "For how long do you want it?" I said, "Give me a week. And I will take that almighty chemistry textbook." If you know the chemistry textbook, I will take that textbook and I will finish it in 1 week and summarize it for my exam. And go to the exam and come out with distinction in my WAEC. I will then ask for physics textbook for Lion 1 to 3. And in 1 week also, I will summarize all of that, go to work, and come out with my distinction. I couldn't afford a biology textbook. I couldn't afford it. So again, I will have to go get a biology textbook and then take the biology textbook also, walk through it, and then come out with a distinction. And the sad part of it sometimes that you come out with distinction and those who have the textbook are coming out with some B's and stuff like that because they have it. But I don't have it, so the little time I have to hang around it, I make the most out of it. Okay? So I want you to imagine that kind of background, and I know that some of you came from, you know, wealthy homes, and a lot of you here came from very, very successful homes. So you can't even relate to the story I'm sharing now. It's like, this guy really suffered, you know. You just can't even understand what I'm saying because, I mean, you had cars picking you to schools. A lot of you here had private teachers. Many of you even have cooks. Many of you had private cooks, you know, people that cook for you. Praise God. Well, in our case, you don't cook for yourself, you are in trouble. So I made up my mind very early. And one of the things that I made up my mind to do is to say, okay, if I'm going to accomplish the things that I've mentioned to you, if I'm going to get out of the poverty bracket, if I'm going to have my kids go to the best of schools, if my wife is going to be financially empowered, if I'm going to, you know, live a wealthy life, then I've got to make some decisions. And the decisions I got to make were, number one, I need to be financially educated. So financial literacy became something I decided to pursue very early. The first book we read after marriage, apart from the Bible, the first thing we did was to study money. And I wanted to do that with my wife so that we can all be in the same frame of mind when it comes to finances. So the first things I did in the first years of our marriage was to study money, the psychology of money, the philosophy of money, to understand the nature of money, how money operates and all of that. And then we had to make some decisions very early in our marriage. What are we going to be putting our monies into? So when she was talking about whether you are risk averse or risk inclined, or, you know, what's your risk appetite, basically. So when we began to look at all of that in the early days of our studies, I realized that because of the nature of the work that I'm going to be doing as a pastor, I can't afford to get myself involved in anything that is of high risk and high return. I don't want a situation whereby I put money somewhere and then I can't sleep overnight. So I'm studying stock market and I'm looking at my Bible, what the Lord is saying and what stock market is saying. Now, some people can handle all of that. I just didn't see myself doing that. Again, it's about what you want. Okay? And the first thing I learned very early in wealth creation is patience. That if you're ever going to become wealthy, you don't want to play with the word patience. The word patience is very, very critical. As we move into this financial breakthrough seminar, I am very confident your life, something will shift. You're going to make decisions that will affect generations to come. I promise you. If I were you, this is something I'm going to take serious. If you don't take a class like this seriously, I really don't know what you're serious about. Because every other thing rests on your financial health. Your financial health will determine your physical health. In fact, if you're not careful, your financial health will affect your spiritual health. If you are so poor, you can't afford food. You are so broke, you can't buy a Bible. You're so broke, you can't give in church. After a while, you're going to question God. God, where are you? So it's important that you give attention to your financial health. So I said to myself, Sam, if you're going to break out of this financial, you know, drama that surrounded your life growing up and all of that, You need to be financially educated. Okay? And then I said to myself also, I need to make some tough financial decisions. So very early, I decided to begin to understand the laws of wealth. The laws of wealth creation. And the first thing I began to say to myself based on what I found out is that money... Okay, sorry. Let me do this. Who can I give money here? OJ. I can trust OJ. I was going to come that way before, but I'd rather trust the lawyer. OJ, come up. So this is money. Okay. Let me see. Okay, so this is money. So at any time when you... Anytime when you have this, if I give him this, it could be for one or two reasons. And whatever the two reasons may be, they all come under one word. The reason I gave him that money is because of value. So, when I give you this, just remember it's because of what? Value. It's either because of a service you render, I'm paying you, so I gave you this to reward you for the value you added to me. Okay? Or it might just be that he didn't do anything for me, but is somebody who holds I value so much, is somebody who is of great value to me. When I mean value, it's not because he works for me, he does anything for me. It might just be someone I talk with a lot and someone I find a lot of respect for and all of that. So either way, whether he did something for me or he didn't do something for me, but because of who he is to me, again, is a reflection of what? Value. So key word there, I got to realize that how much money you're going to be having in your life is going to be determined by how much value. How much value? How much? What is the value that you represent? So this is all about value. Money is about value. You are either a friend of mine. I just thought about you. How every time, whenever I'm in crisis, I can easily call you. You're not my security guard. You are not on paid employment in my office. But every time when I call you, you have a listening ear. You encourage me. And then all of a sudden, I just made some money. And I just say, let me just send a million naira to you. Okay. When that million comes... Please don't say I sent you money. I just showed you how much I value you. Is that okay? It's a reflection of what? Value. So what that simply means is that if you are broke and you are always without money, it just simply tells you that there's nobody thinking about you in terms of your investment of time, your investment of love, your investment of encouragement and support. The scarcity of money in your life is a reflection of the fact that it's a testament to the absence of your presence in people's lives. Is that okay? If you are always without money, it is a testament. It is a testament to the absence of your presence, your contribution in people's lives. I was approaching my birthday and all of a sudden one of my friends, I mentioned it to you here when he came here, one of my friends sent me, I was surprised, my birthday. And he just sent me and I just saw an alert, a happy birthday. Just for birthday. And how much was it? 10 million. Have a look at your neighbor and say, happy birthday. Is that not all you get? Is that okay? One of my friends called my wife towards my birthday. And he said to my wife, he said, what's going on? What's Reverend Sam doing? And all of that. And my wife was like, we're just trying to put some stuff. He said, listen, I want us to do something very solid. And he called her. He said, look, don't let him know. And he sent her 5 million. He said, I want to just for preparation. Have a look at your neighbor and say, happy birthday. So your own birthday, you lose money. My own birthday, I gained money. Let me ask you a question. What is it that made someone, without me talking to him, wake up and without me telling him how much I want, what is it that makes someone to, no, one is not enough. Two is not enough. Three is not enough. Four is not, five is not, this guy is what more than, no, six is not enough. Seven is not enough. Eight is not enough. What kind of memory, what was the person thinking about? You are not broke because there's no money in town. You are broke because of the absence of your value in town. Brokenness is a reflection of worthlessness. Brokenness is a reflection of what, sir? Worthlessness. Can you please send money to that person for what reason? Please help me send 1 million to that person. Is it worth it? Have you noticed sometimes you clean somebody cleaned your car or somebody cleaned something and you now say, hey, how much am I going to give you? And the person says, 100,000. You say, for what? What did you do? What you are simply saying that what you did is not worth that amount. So poverty is not as a result of the absence of money. Poverty is a reflection of an unprofitable contribution that you are making. Your contribution is unprofitable. Significant contribution attracts significant income. See, can I get my money back? Thank you. Help me celebrate OJ. OJ is what more than that. All right. So let's get straight to this. Let's get straight to this. It's one thing, sir. Let's look at it this way. We have different brands of cars, right? Okay, so there's give me the brand from the lowest brands you can think about. No, smaller brands that you use for regular. Golf. Anybody know golf? Okay, fine. So, you know golf, right? So, think about golf that they used to carry people all around from here to Niger, Suleja, and all of that. Think about a golf. And then, what's the next one they use again? Mazda. And then, okay. I hope you do know that if you are an automobile mechanic that fixes cars, and you specialize in fixing golf cars. Now, in a day, you can fix 10 golf cars. Your income will not be equal what someone who fixes a Ferrari makes in a day. So, who you serve determines what you get. Number two, what you serve determines what you attract. Did you hear what I said now, sir? Who you serve determines what you get. In the world of wealth creation, who you serve determines what you get as your payback. And then what you serve also matters. And I want you to think about what I've just said to you from the broader perspective in life. Someone is a tailor. Someone is a tailor to Mr. President. Is that okay? We were in a meeting, was it yesterday, the birthday, the 40th birthday, was it yesterday? Day before yesterday, 2 days ago. We were in the meeting and somebody came there, was asked to come and do like unveiling, and happens to be a popular fashion designer here in Abuja, Shea Vodi. And Shea came and was like, he said, what am I doing yet? I thought, you know, I'm just a tailor. And someone who was introducing him said, this guy sews for kings, sews for governors. And if you know where Shea Vodi's office is, it's a glass plaza. Now, is Shea Vodi the best of tailors? I'm not too sure. There may be a tailor somewhere in a remote community that nobody knows with exceptional sewing skills. But who he serves and what he serves determine what he gets. You sow for kings, you get kings' rewards. So it's very critical for you to know that in life, what you serve and who you serve matters. So write this down. Money is a reward for solving problems. Money is the reward you get for solving problems. Therefore, it is critical for you to understand that you must learn to create value. You must, and I'm going to be talking about the laws very soon within the next few minutes that I have, and then next week we'll continue into it properly. So you must make up your mind to learn to make sure that you create value. Some people make people laugh. That's what they offer. They offer laughter. They make sure that you laugh, and then they organize comedy show. Now there are people in the community, in your neighborhood, who make people laugh, and people will just look at it, this old serious boy. And then someone else picks up on the joke that these guys in the community make, packages the joke and goes on social media to make that joke, and then the person begins to gain followers. Another person is able to package it together and find his way into a gathering of elites, and then he calls himself a compere. And then as he calls himself a compere, in the midst of trying to announce events in between, just the next coming event, he cracks a little joke, And then before you know, the elites begin to have that person as their compare. So much so that as far back as 1998, I was in a house in Lagos and Ali Baba came into that house. And when he came into the house, he came to buy Senegalese. That was when Senegalese was reigning and it was very expensive. It was known as the clothes of very wealthy people. And many of us just see people that wear this Senegalese dress and we're like, wow, these guys are very wealthy guys. It was beyond our reach. But I was in the room when Ali Baba came in there. We've not known each other then. When Ali Baba came into the room and he came to buy the Senegalese from the lady who happens to attend my fellowship. She had just returned from Senegal. She happened to be a custom officer. And guess what, sir? At that time, 1998, one Senegalese was 25,000 naira. Then Ali Baba just told her, bring them all. And I saw him, he'll pick this one. He'll pick. And as at the time I was counting, it was 13. And in my whole life, I'm like, what? And then he said, is this all? Are these all the clothes you have? She said, that's all. So he had picked all the various colors she had. Now here am I, have not been able to put on one. Someone is picking up 13. And I'm like, what does he do? When he left, I called her and said, where does he get his money? She said, no, he cracks jokes, he does compare and all of that. I said, really? And that as at that time, I think his 30 minutes was about 1 million. I said, for what? Cracking jokes? I said, I make people laugh too. But they don't pay me. Because of who I am making laugh. I'm about to relocate where you present your gift. My assignment is to challenge you to make sure you take your gift to where to be properly rewarded. Our time is up, man. Okay. Let's do something very quickly. So there are 10 laws that I have seen over the years and I practice, and they've been of great help to me. I'm just a young boy. I'm just starting. My life is just starting. So, but I can tell you that I'm not where I used to be. And I can tell you I know the difference between poverty and having a little bit of money. And I can tell you I prefer the latter one. When you are broke, you have no option. Options are limited before a broke person. And it's dangerous to live a life without options. That you are stuck in a place that you hate. You are stuck in a condition you hate. You are stuck in a car you hate. You hate it, but you can't change it because you lack options. The power to make choice has been taken from you. What finances do, what money does, is that it gives you the power to make choices. A lady can't say no to a man who tells her, sleep with me. Sleep with me quickly on the desk in my office. You want the job? Lie down on my desk. Lie down on the floor. When you are broke, except where you carry value. When you are somebody who truly believes in your value, that even in poverty, I will not give up my value. The only thing that will keep you from compromising your body's integrity when you are in a state of poverty, the only thing that will keep you from compromising your body's integrity is a strong value. The absence of a value will make you fall like a pack of cards. Because when you think of the coming rent, and you don't know where the rent is going to come from, you have no choice. I want you to think about it, please, by any stretch of your imagination, that Okonjo-Iweala came to your office and you are a man. She just came to just pass by. And you're not telling her, "Madam, you're so beautiful, Lo. Madam, can you sleep with me? I want to give you 1 million. Now, I mean, think about it. I'm asking you, what courage will you have? Can you see that sometimes reproachful offers are given because of your broke condition? Somebody shouted Jesus. Can you see that sometimes the offers that people make to you is because they have looked at you and they have valued you to be so worthless that they think what they're giving to you of natural, without any artificial additives and all of that, you're just going to fall for it. So poverty strips you of your choice. Poverty reduces your dignity. It strips you of your dignity. Poverty can recycle poverty. Poverty can recycle poverty. Poverty transfers pain across generations. What you hated in your lifetime can be transferred over to your children because of poverty. Poverty can render you helpless in a place where there is a need for you to intervene. The more reason why you must, from the depth of your heart, say no to it. I will just give you one of the laws, and then just to stimulate the atmosphere, and then next week we'll resume back properly. The first law of wealth that really changed my life, it's what we call the law of abundance. The law of abundance. The first law of wealth that really changed my life is the law of abundance. And that law states that money flows to those who think and prepare for it. Money always flows to those who think and prepare for it. The law of abundance. There are different variations of the law, but I just want to make it very simple. And this is something that the law of abundance makes you to begin to think. And I love the way Pastor Sunday started with it. That is $54 trillion, 54 trillion naira moving across the country. So the law of abundance, first of all, tell you there is money in this country. Say it with me, say there's money in this country. That's it. It may not be with me, but there's money in this country. The law of abundance. And then the second thing is not just that there's money in this country. It's not just that there's money in this country. There's enough money in this country to go around. There's enough money in this country to go around. Whilst they may not allow it go round, it's important to know that there's enough money to go round. Number three, there's enough money in this country, there's enough money to go around, and I see myself having access to that money. I'm talking about the law of abundance. So I don't see myself living in a world where there's scarcity of money. I love what that lady is doing. Just look at that. Look at that. Wake her up for me. Touch her for me. What is on your mind? What was going through your mind? Tell me what you're doing.
I was envisioning myself having it.
Say it again.
Envisioning myself having it and my family.
I could see it. I could see that what I was saying, come close. I want to make sure you start having it.
Thank you, Papa.
I could see that what I was saying, she was picturing. It was so serious that we're looking at her direction, she couldn't even give us attention. That's how it begins. And you'll be amazed what she will become. That I see money in this country. And I see it coming to me. I see me having a lot of it in Nigeria. I see me having dollars, a lot of it. I see me having pound sterling, a lot of it. He said, I will see what he say. I will see. See, the key to changing your life is transforming words into pictures. Several years ago, in this city of Abuja, as someone who was broke, I began to say, I will travel to America, I will go to different parts of the world, and I said, I will live comfortably in that place than even those who are there. I said, from here, we will go and spend their money there. And we saw it in our minds. We began to see it. The law of abundance. Those who don't see money won't see money. Those who see money will see money. Law of abundance. See, I want to start with what changes people's lives. That is why this session is going to be the most transformative thing. I want to share with you what your father and your mother didn't sit down to share with you. Many of us didn't have financial conversations with our parents. If you understand what I'm saying, wave your hands. They didn't teach us money. They didn't show us how to get it. How to just make sure you go to school. Go to school. You finish going to school, you get a job. They start paying you salary. That's all they told us. Go to school, get a job, make some money. So the law of abundance tells you that you should learn to start seeing money before you see money. Start thinking, start imagining money, and start imagining a lot of it coming to you. Money has not left the universe. It has only left your space. The absence of money in your space is not the absence of money from the universe. It's just your space that lacks money. The absence of money from your account is not indicative that money has left the earth. It's just that it's not flowing in your direction. And one of the things that makes money come towards you is that you have what we call magnetic thinking. That you're always seeing money coming towards you. As he thinketh in his heart. Are you getting what I'm saying now? Want to be a millionaire? If you want to be a millionaire, what did they say you should do first? Think like a... Can you see where it begins from? It begins with thinking, not having. Did you just get that now? It begins first with thinking before having. You become a millionaire inside before you become one outside. What you don't become inside, you don't become outside. What you don't capture on the inside won't become a reality for you on the outside. You can work as hard as you want to work. You can labor as much as you want to labor. If you can't see what you want to see, you won't see what you can't see. So the law of abundance begins with a mindset of surplus. With a mindset of what, sir? It begins with telling yourself that the God who created all things, created them how? in surplus. Can you think about water, water body? Just think of the vast ocean. Have you ever traveled across the Atlantic Ocean? Sometimes you don't want to look down. Because you're looking down, if you're not careful, something will make you, what if we fall inside? The vastness of it. I'm trying to show you the kind of God we serve. Everything he created in water. Come on, talk to me. He created in what? In what? Surplus, in abundance. Think about human beings. How many are we on earth today? Over 8 billion. Surplus. That's your father. He thinks surplus. When your father created just one man, one woman, he said multiply. He could see surplus before we began to see it. So when Adam and Eve were here on earth, your father was already seeing much more than Adam and Eve. The abundance mindset. John chapter 10 verse 10. The Amplified Version. It said, he has come that you may have life in abundance until it overflows. The Amplified Version, quickly please. That you may have it in abundance until it overflows. So the key to wealth, a wealthy life begins with a wealthy mind. Please, if nobody ever taught you this, I'm sharing with you the secrets of the wealthy. You become wealthy in your mind before you become wealthy in life. Let me show you one of the signs, one of the ways by which you can sometimes know that the spirit of scarcity is operational in your life. When you go to a party, or when you come to church and they are serving food, you will not know when something will make you to run quickly to go to the front. You don't know how much food we have, but there's something inside you always telling you it may not be enough. How many of you understand what I'm saying here? Don't raise your hand, just nod your head. Do you know that even after God has prospered some people, they are still dwelling with poverty mindset, scarcity mindset? So you see wealth, you see people that have become rich, embarrassing themselves in meetings, rushing for things. Why are they rushing? There is a subconscious programming of scarcity. That's why such people, when they have money, to even lose, to give money is a problem for them. Because the assumption is that if I give, I will reduce. I will go back to poverty again. Scarcity mindset. Everything is never enough. It will soon finish. Ah, God, do give this kind of offering. Okay, now, some of the people that carry my money away from here now, I didn't have them in mind. I came with a different purpose in mind. So my pocket is empty now. Is that okay? You know why I don't bother about giving it away? Scarcity is not part of my thinking. So, doctor, I attract money. It's the way I think. I see money always coming to me. That's why I'm never in lack of it. Never in lack of it. So you've known me very early. From very early days of the church, I give. In our lack, we give. Because when we were not having money, we had money in our mind. And we knew that it is not how much we have that truly determines our wealthy status. It is how much we have in our mind. So giving is not an issue. It doesn't reduce us. I understand the law of universal transfer. What that simply means is that what has left me now is coming back a multiple fold. I will never forget some times ago in church here, that was last year or so. You know, I just come to church, God will just put it, I just give out some people some money and all of that. And somebody just followed me and said, sorry, sir, I want to give you something. And he gave me like a pack. So honestly, it was a carton, a pack. So I was like, what kind of gift did this person give me? When I opened it, it was minted money. And I called him, I said, sir, what is this? He said, no, he said, I noticed you like giving money, so I decided to give you money so that I can be giving money. What you are in the habit of giving away never finishes. I'm calling you to a place of financial. See, I promise you, your life will change. Nothing has kept you financially poor like your state of mind. So the first thing that sets you free, the first thing that opens the door for you into the world of wealth, is what is called the law of abundance. That if you can see money coming to you, you will see money coming to you. That if you can see money not finishing, it will finish. That if you can see money leaving you and much more coming back, the law of abundance, that's exactly what you're going to be seeing. That you are able to plug into that understanding, and my God shall supply all your needs according to what, sir? His riches in your central bank, his riches in the inexhaustible realm of glory. That my supplier actually is inexhaustible. So I don't fear letting go. It is this law of abundance that has helped us from the early days of to give lands. In FCTs, our land. To give away cars. Give cars away. And from very early days, when we're married, we got married newly, my wife would say, baby, the vision is... She said, look, I have a vision. One day, we're going to be giving houses to people. I said, look, we were in a boy's quarters. I said, you are not praying for us to have a house. I mean, we should pay for us to get house rent to move it. She had already moved into that dimension in her mind. In a boy's quarters, she was already thinking. In her mind is full, I would give houses to people. And a few years ago, she started to remind me, say, baby, I sense we are getting close to that season. She said, I sense we're going to give houses to people. I won't say anything about that. If you can see it, you will see it. If you can see it, I see wealth coming. I see finances coming. And by the way, let me say this. If you will keep seeing it and not stop seeing it, you'll start seeing it. The challenge of many of us is that you start, I see money coming. Tomorrow, now look, I see nothing there. I see a lot of poverty here. We don't see actualities. We see possibilities. And we keep seeing possibilities until possibilities overrule actualities. Our actuality is that there is nothing now. The possibility is that there's so much in the years to come. So we call those things that be not. That's the law of abundance. Secularly, spiritually, this is the law that operates. Before Dangote had a refinery, he announced that he was going to have a refinery. Yeah, it was not built. He started saying, I'm going to have the largest refinery. Is that okay? He started saying it when he didn't even have the money for it. He started first with seeing it. What he saw, we are just seeing it. He had seen it. When Walt Disney died, after Walt Disney died, I'm sure many of you heard the story. Walt Disney had gone to California with his daughters, and then they wanted to go around, you know, a playground. And he took his daughters there, and instead of the machines there working, they were working and stopping. And he was like, what is this? This is affecting the joy that my kids are supposed to be having here. So he said, look, I'm going to build a theme park where it will be operational for 24 hours. It will be working nonstop. If it's operational, it will be operational nonstop. That's all how the whole concept of Disney came up. And then, of course, he went to work and started building. Eventually, towards, I think, maybe certain point in time, he died. But Disneyland was built. And on the day Disney was being commissioned, someone leaned towards his wife. And the person said to the wife, your husband would have been proud if he was here today to see this. And the wife leaned back to the man. She said, he saw it before we are seeing it. What do you see? A broke future. What do you see? If this thing enter you, what I'm talking to you about, you are thinking about somebody who is announcing something coming out of him. The day will come when you will see it. Because whatever enters your mind cannot escape your life. What do you see? What are you seeing? Struggles, right? Struggles to pay children's school fees. What are you seeing? Sir, I didn't know, sir. I didn't know, sir, that where you fly, it's not about money. It's about vision. It's about what you see. So I remember in those days when we started flying, we just go straight to the economy. So one day I was just passing by. So I stopped a bit and I saw somebody in the business class. And I said to myself, does he have four legs? I said, God, this is how to travel, that before I go, I can sleep before I get to a, I said, the one where we are, the way the leg is positioned, I said, Lord, it's a lot of pain. I said, to be good like this. And so I began to respect what I wanted to see. So anytime I'm passing by, I stop there and I look at it very well. And I said to myself, one day, I will be flying here. Few years ago, the Lord just brought that thing back to me. He said, you've even forgotten that what has become normal now was one time a dream, a prayer point. What has become normal now is one time a prayer point. If you can see it. Can I ask you to close your eyes? See the house you will prefer to live in. As I just said, see the house. Don't let the house you came from jump into your mind. That house has colonized your brain. See the kind of house you will prefer. See your garage. See the kind of cars you would like to have there, to God's glory. For those of you that will be having children, see your children coming out of the house, you are taking them into the car. See yourself walking them into the car. See yourself walking into the gym in your own house. See yourself in your own sauna, in your own house, in your own bathtub. Don't let village spirits interfere with this vision. Don't let anything interfere with it. See yourself driving out of your house and you're going to an orphanage and see yourself dropping money with them at the orphanage, dropping foodstuff with them at the orphanage. See children jumping all over to welcome you. See yourself going back to your father's house. See yourself on a field and you are showing them what you want them to build. What will now become your new family house. See it. He said, Jeremiah, what seest thou? What are you seeing? He said, what you are seeing now, I will hasten to perform it. God said, I'm about to give speed for the manifestation of what you are seeing now. It's dangerous for you to be seeing small things when God wants to give you speed. What seest thou? See your businesses across the world. See yourself sponsoring missions and missionaries. See yourself giving to the things of God. See yourself paying school fees for widows, their children. Hallelujah. Open your eyes. Husband and wife came to see me here. Very simple man and his wife. A few days ago. From our church, Ushafa, TTC Ushafa. Very simple husband and wife. And they said, Pastor, we just came to see you. I said, yes. I said, what is it? And he started sharing with me the burdens he had looking at schools because he didn't have the privilege of going to private school. But that he had always had a vision that God, if you bless me, I will bring public schools to the level of private schools. And he said one of the ways to do it is to equalize it through technology. He said, God has answered my prayer. He said, sir, we have gone to this secondary school and he was showing me videos of laptops. I'm talking about contemporary laptops. Computer sets with tables. And he said, sir, the reason I came to see you is I want you to choose any secondary school in Gwarin Power of your choice. He said, sir, in your honor, for the work you are doing, sir, that my wife and I want to make sure that we give them the basic number of computers that the secondary school should have in order for that secondary school to be worthy of doing exams in their own school, which is 20 computers. He says, sir, you don't worry, sir. They say, sir, please, don't worry about anything, sir. Just tell us the school and tell them we are coming. That will do everything on your behalf. Your own is just to come and commission it in your name. In this same Nigeria where there's no money. And they said, sir, we are also going to do the same for our church in Ushafa. That we're looking for opportunity to do more of this. And that very soon we're going to move outside of Abuja. I want to be doing it across other states. See it. Have a look at your neighbor. Say, see it in order to see it. What do you see? I see money coming to me. I see finances coming to me. Go ahead and declare what you see.